I'm not someone who's ever really struggled with homesickness. The only time I can ever remember experiencing anything like it was in the 2 years that I spent living abroad, once for a year in Australia in the early 1990s and the second for a year in South Africa in the late 1990s. Now, don't get me wrong, they were both life-changing experiences, each in their own way, and each having a profound impact on my sense of myself, my understanding of the world, and the things that I most appreciate and value and care about. But the holidays of Thanksgiving and Advent and Christmas were also a real challenge in terms of feeling so far away from home. Thanksgiving actually was particularly hard because, of course, while other countries have days of Thanksgiving, our celebration of Thanksgiving is quintessentially American, even down to the food choices. Turkey and cornmeal and pecans are all indigenous to the Americas, and so finding them in Australia took no small amount of effort so that I could have a roast turkey and cornbread dressing and pecan pie. But I found them, and I used them, and I turned out pretty solid versions of the turkey and the dressing, which I was particularly impressed with myself about since I'd never tried either one on my own. I was only 22 at the time. The pecan pie was another story, though. I really wanted pecan pie because I particularly associated it with Thanksgiving at home. My mother's parents had a large pecan tree in their yard and always had home-roasted salted pecans around when I would go there, as we did almost every Thanksgiving. Now, ironically, I didn't even particularly like pecans growing up, and I don't remember pecan pie being a staple dessert of those meals. But something about that association between those meals and pecans had me fixated on baking one for my Australian Thanksgiving. So I made up pie dough for the crust, mixed together the filling for the pie, carefully placed a tree's worth of pecans on top, and then set the oven. The problem was, I miscalculated the conversion from the Celsius settings on the oven to the settings for the recipe in Fahrenheit. And while the pie was supposed to be baked at about 350 degrees, I baked it at something more like 500, which I only really realized when I began smelling the smoke from the next room, literally. First, I just thought it was from some wildfires that had sprung up around Sydney that week, carrying across the wind. But then I realized that the smell was coming from the kitchen, not from the window. And so with a start, I leapt up and opened the kitchen door, and a cloud of smoke thick enough to imply that there was a wildfire contained solely within my kitchen hit me in the face. So I made a mental note to check the clearly non-functional apartment smoke detector, opened the oven, and withdrew a round, perfectly black charcoal briquette where my pie was supposed to be. It's a funny story now. Who knew that I really would need to master the 9/5 conversion from Celsius from fifth grade math? But at the time, I was brokenhearted. Somehow that pie had become a symbol of being able to go home for the holidays, or at least bring home to me on the other side of the world. And it was gone, and all I could feel was the distance and the absence of it now. Years later, I heard a song by Waylon Jennings, the country singer, and it took me back to that experience almost instantly because it so perfectly articulated what it felt like to be so far from home, longing so deeply for its promise and grieving its absence. And so, because we're in a space that's conducive to this, I'm going to play it for you, and perhaps you'll have your own story that it speaks to. I'm a long way from home, and so all alone, homesick like I never thought I'd be. I'm a long way from home, and everything is wrong. Someone please watch over me. I'm not accustomed to these feelings. The loneliness is burning in my soul. Sometimes the mind is so misleading. I wish I'd stayed at home like I was told. I'm a long way from home, and so all alone. Homesick like I never thought I'd be. I'm a long way from home, and everything is wrong. Someone please watch over me. As I was thinking about our Advent theme this year, close to home, and considering this first Sunday of Advent, on which we light the first candle of the Advent wreath, traditionally called the Candle of Hope, that song and its depth has enormous power, I think, for all of us, and resonates with a common experience of homesickness. And it came to mind almost immediately for me when I was thinking about the theme. Now, that may sound a little counterintuitive at first, that song with Advent. Advent in general and the first Sunday in particular are supposed to be about waiting for hope, for something good to happen. How could a song that so perfectly encapsulates loneliness and loss be helpful with that? Well, because for hope to really matter, for it to resonate in all of its power and beauty, it has to be able to both acknowledge and speak into the reality of hopelessness. Not necessarily hopelessness in the sense of having given up even the possibility of hope, but at least hopeless in the sense of an absence of hope. And the truth is, we have a hard time with that. Especially here in the United States, where our cultural temptations to what's sometimes called toxic positivity is so strong. Responding to uncomfortable and painful emotions with false reassurances to try to dismiss the reality of them rather than acknowledge and engage them directly. But acknowledging them and engaging to them and speaking to them directly is what Christian hope is all about. It doesn't try to shoo away or paint over the realities of pain or loss or even despair. It steps right down into the midst of them, acknowledges their reality and the need to change them, and points beyond them to what God truly intends for us and is already at work bringing to us right now. It's precisely that which Jesus is talking about in this passage, which is both powerful and good news, even if it's counterintuitive at first. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, he says, and on the earth, distress among nations confused by the roaring of the seas and waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what's coming into the world. This is probably why Advent cards aren't a thing the way Christmas cards are. People will faint from fear and foreboding just doesn't have the same ring as peace on earth, goodwill to all when you tape them on your refrigerator. The thing is, though, it doesn't say all people or even which people. And that's important because the people fainting from fear and foreboding from the advent of Christ's final coming are the ones who are invested in the world staying exactly the way it is, in all of its pain and division and injustice. The ones for whom Jesus is coming in power and great glory is categorically bad news for them. But there are others. The ones to whom he says, when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads because your redemption is drawing near. He's speaking there not to the ones who will lose hope when he comes, but who are feeling without hope now. All of those who feel homesick in the midst of the realities of this world. All who long for the home of love and joy and peace that God intends for us and promises to us in and through Jesus Christ. All who are struggling to hold on to hope and may be tempted to despair. But in Advent, we remember not only the gloomy realities of the world as it is now and acknowledge the struggle of living in them, but we also remember and celebrate the gleaming promises of the world that God always intended, that God is already recreating for us here and now through Christ, and which God will bring to full and final completion in the end. So if "I'm a Long Way From Home" is a counterintuitive Advent song, I'm going to conclude with another one that almost sounds like it was written for all of us who are longing for the home that we hope for in Jesus Christ. It's called "A Sort of Homecoming" by the rock band U2. The narrator of the song is addressing someone who's experiencing loneliness and distance and grief. And first, he promises to meet them on borderlands, space that's both marginal and transitional and can therefore be a place of great loneliness. And he declares that they will not simply endure there, but thrive. "On borderlands we run," the singer says, which is a wonderful way of summing up how we as Christians are invited to live as Advent people, thriving together with Christ, running together in the transitional space and time until he fully and finally comes. And that's the second promise that both the narrator of the song and Jesus make, that they are already coming home and will be here shortly. And so with that in mind, listen to this song with Advent ears. And Joanne's going to put the lyrics up on the screen so you can see them as well. And you know it's time to go through the sleet and driving snow, cross the fields of morning to a light in the distance. And you hunger for the time to heal, desire time. And your earth moves beneath your own dream landscape. Oh, 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 on borderland we run. Tonight I harrowed out of here. Away, come away, oh come away, I say. Oh come away, come away, oh come away, I say. Oh, oh, oh.
and we run, and still we run. We run and don't look back. I'll be there. I'll be there tonight. I'll be there tonight, I believe. I'll be there so high. I'll be there tonight. Tonight. Heartbeat so low, slow. Through the rain and fallen snow, cross the fields of morning to a light in the distance. Oh, don't sorrow, no, don't weep, for tonight at last I am coming home. I am coming home.
Your redemption is drawing near, Jesus promises. And that's the promise. That's the best of all the news for us, I think. Because it's not a promise that we will eventually get to home. It's that the light in the distance invites us not to sorrow or to weep. Because at last, Christ is coming home. Bringing home to us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.